We're talking with Marshall Hellenberger. He's the editor of the Timberjay newspaper. And thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, happy to be here, sir.
So let's start here. There's an investigation that is looking into some alteration of city records. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, this is an investigation actually that we've been conducting for a while. And it turns out that it appears there have been systematic alterations of official city records in the city of Tower. And the records in question are basically are contained within a roster that's put out every year by the city clerk treasurer in advance of the city's annual reorganization. And the roster includes the terms of office of all of the people who are appointed by the council to various city commissions and committees, you know, things like the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Local Economic Development Authority, other, you know, commissions like that. And, you know, the problem here is that, you know, these terms are actually supposed to be maintained as they were originally approved by the council. And what we did, we started noticing some discrepancies this year when the city clerk had put out this this roster and went back and actually went back to old minutes, previous reorganizations, and discovered that the terms of office that were approved by, you know, the past by past councils over the last two or three years, that they did not line up with what the city clerk was purporting in this new roster. There had been more than a dozen alterations, and it appeared that the alterations extended the terms of individuals who were seen as allied with the clerk, and there's a stark divide right now within city government and Tower. And so the individuals who were closely aligned with the city clerk, they had their terms extended, and others had their terms shortened or even eliminated. And I was actually one of the individuals involved because I had been the president of the Economic Development Authority. I was appointed in 2017 to a three-year term, which was supposed to expire at the end of 2019, and the clerk switched my term with another person, and the previous mayor had opted in 2018 to remove me from TITA, even though under state law you're not allowed to remove somebody from an EDA or an Economic Development Authority without due process, and there was no due process at all. And they maintained they didn't have to provide due process because my term had expired. In fact, it had not. And this was, you know, systematic, you know, on a number of other committees, Planning and Zoning Commission, which is a fairly significant commission in city government generally. There had been alterations to every person's term, extending the terms of allies of the city clerk and shortening the term of one individual who had challenged the city clerk. So, very disturbing kinds of alterations to see here, because the city clerk is, you know, an appointed person by the city council and does not have any authority under the city's charter to make these changes on her own.
So who oversees the city clerk?
Well, that would be the city council. I believe this issue was addressed in a recent performance review, but the council has not opted to take any action on that at this point. And we're hoping or expecting or at least, you know, holding out the possibility that the investigation that we've now published might lead the council to, you know, take some take a second look at this situation and decide whether or not they want to take any action here. And at the same time, you know, and this is very much related to this whole issue, is the clerk, a lot of these alterations, it appears, were made in order to limit the ability of the new mayor in town, Orlin Kringstad, to make changes to the membership of some of these city commissions and committees. And so by extending the terms of her allies, it made it difficult for the new mayor to remove some of them possibly or replace them with other people. So there's a fight going on right now between the new mayor and some of the old guard, I guess you could call them, that have been running the city for the past few years. And in fact, it led the council on Monday to approve an investigation into the new mayor. And the thing they're going to be investigating ostensibly, they received a complaint from one of the clerk's strongest allies that the mayor, before he was even mayor, had made comments at his place of business to two other members of the council, and had suggested that there were that he had concerns about a city employee, and that there might be a cause for dismissal, or at least that's the allegation in this complaint that was filed by this individual who's a city employee. And at this point now, they're hiring an investigator to look into this allegation against the mayor. And it's not really clear to a lot of people why the city would have any role in investigating the comments or the expression of opinion by somebody who at the time was not even an elected official. He had been elected in November. He had made these comments shortly after that, had not assumed office yet. So he was still a private citizen. And, you know, why the city feels there's a role in investigating the comments of a private citizen isn't really clear. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this investigation.
And it sounds like the vote that was taken by the city council to approve this investigation was fairly split.
It was very split. It's a five-member council, and only two members of the council voted in favor of the investigation. One other individual voted against it, and the mayor decided he should abstain because it related to him. And then another council member, who is brand new to the council, abstained as well. I think she just felt uncomfortable even making a decision, so she didn't make one. And in the end, then, it ended up with two council members being able to authorize this investigation. And they're going to be having somebody come in from the League of Minnesota Cities. And it wouldn't surprise me once the investigator gets here and looks into the allegation that we'll probably find that there isn't much that can be done. I mean, the city attorney was at this meeting on Monday and advised the council that even if the mayor had said what was alleged, that the council had no authority over the mayor. I mean, the mayor isn't an employee of the council. He's an elected official, and there's really no provision where the council could, discipline him in any way. So it seems to be kind of an exercise in futility in the end. But it keeps the new mayor sort of off balance for a while as this is going on. And that seems to be part of their objective.
Well, I'm sure you will keep us posted on what happens with all of this.
It has become quite the soap opera, I'll tell you.
Well, and you wonder if the weather has something to do with it, in that everybody's starting to go stir crazy with all the snow.
That could be, yeah. Although this has been percolating for quite a while.
And this maybe is a good segue into our next story. People have been trying to get permits, I'm guessing, thinking of warmer temperatures and being able to canoe and visit the boundary waters, and there's been some hiccups there.
There certainly have been. This year, the reservation system was supposed to go live on January 30th, and it was kind of a disaster. It lasted about an hour before the Forest Service had to shut it down because it was just not working. And this obviously has caused a lot of consternation, for people who are eager to, like you said, make some reservations, thinking ahead to some summer fun. in the boundary waters, but it's also a big economic effect on, you know, the resorts and outfitters in this, particularly in the Ely area. They rely heavily on that boundary waters traffic, and a lot of those folks, the resort owners and outfitters in particular, they're known as cooperators with the Forest Service, and they do a lot of the permit reservations for, you know, customers and clients. And so having this breakdown has been a huge problem for them. It's, you know, obviously affected their planning, and they're still, you know, waiting now to find out, you know, exactly when the new system will be back up and running. It sounds like right now the Forest Service is saying they hope to have it up and running by February 27th. But they say they have quite a bit of testing to do in the meantime. They also said they plan to do some additional training with cooperators, so they'll be more familiar with the system when they start using it. And the funny thing is, you know, the system is not really that different. They've done this online reservation system for about a decade now. But what was new this year was that the motor day use motor permits, which are always you know, hotly sought after, they had gone with this system now. In the past, they've used a lottery system specifically just for these motor permits because they're in such high demand, and you know, to try to be fair, the Forest Service had used this lottery system. Well, they discontinued that this year, and so those all got tossed into the reservation system as well. And I don't know whether that change is responsible for, you know, the breakdown in the system this year or not, but the coincidence certainly, I think, was interesting, and people are assuming that it had something to do with it. And at this point, people are pretty angry. They did have Representative Pete Stauber did call a town hall meeting in Ely on Saturday, and they had a panel there of folks to talk about the situation and kind of what they were experiencing. They wanted to hear from businesses and Boundary Waters users, you know, to basically get their take and listen to their concerns, and then hear from the Forest Service as well about how they're going to fix it. And generally, the discussion was quite civil, and it only lasted an hour. And I think people walked away with at least some sense that there may be some light at the end of the tunnel here, and they'll be able to get the reservations rolling within a couple of weeks now.
Well, that sounds great. Hopefully people will be able to get their summer plans aligned, and especially with the livelihood of a lot of the outfitters that depend so much upon the tourism and the people that come to the Boundary Waters to enjoy them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the weather, I think, is, 'cause I'm kind of tired of the snow. Did you get a lot of snow again this week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems like my morning routine now is to shovel at home and then get to the office and shovel some more, and I am tired of shoveling.
Yeah, it was a fun novelty, the snow, but it needs to just stop.
I know. Yeah, it's really getting deep out there.
Well, great. Well, thank you, Marshall, again for talking with us today, and hope you have a great weekend.
Same to you. Thanks,
right.
Sarah.
Yep, thanks. Marshall Helmberger, he's the editor of the Timber Jay newspaper, and he joins us Friday mornings to let us know what's been going on in Tower. You're listening to the Friday Morning Show here at KAXE and on KBXE.